The title proclaims The Real Face of Jesus, followed by Advances in Forensic Science Reveal the Most Famous Face in History. This article didn't appear in a religious magazine, but was the lead story in Popular Mechanics, where a group of scientists challenged the popular view of Jesus. Can we really know what Jesus looked like? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The article, which appeared in the December 2002 issue of Popular Mechanics, begins, quote, "From the time Christian children settle into Sunday school classrooms, an image of Jesus Christ is etched into their minds. In North America, he is most often depicted as being taller than his disciples, lean, with flowing light brown hair, fair skin, with light-colored eyes. Familiar though this image may be, it is inherently flawed. A person with these features and physical bearing would have looked very different from everyone else in the region where Jesus lived and ministered," unquote. Can we really know what Jesus looked like? Classical European painters usually portray him as tall and thin with delicate, almost effeminate features. The original African Heritage edition of the King James Bible has a picture of Jesus looking like a man from Central Africa. Some Christians have claimed that the image of Jesus is found on the Shroud of Turin. Dave Palmer calls in from our news desk in Canada.
The shroud is a piece of ancient linen cloth that is kept at St. John the Baptist Cathedral in Turin, Italy. The cloth has distinct front and back full body images of a man. Careful examination of the image reveals scourge marks over the back and chest, several facial injuries, and severe puncture-like injuries on the wrists, feet, and one side. Many believe that the Shroud of Turin is the actual burial cloth of Jesus. Numerous scholars, including scientists, forensic pathologists, image specialists, historians, and archaeologists, believe indeed it could be a genuine burial cloth of a man crucified by the Romans during the first century. But whether it is the actual burial cloth of Jesus is nothing more than mere speculation.
David, the Shroud of Turin no longer has the support of as many scientists and historians as in the past.
As far back as 1389, Gary, a French bishop charged in a memorandum to Pope Clement that the shroud was a forgery. Much of the early story is fragmentary, some of it only circumstantial, some of it mere legend. So what do people really believe the shroud to be? Well, believe it or not, there are about 40 shrouds which have been alleged to be the true shroud of Jesus. Beliefs about the Shroud of Turin are seriously divided. Some say it's an authentic relic, the actual burial cloth of Jesus. Others claim that it is an historical artifact, the cloth of another individual who was put to death at the time of Rome. Still other scientists and historians claim it is a religious icon painted in the 14th century. But thanks to more modern methods, many scientists are now convinced that the shroud is a fraud, a pious counterfeit, a forgery intended to fool Christians. An expert on the Shroud of Turin, Joe Nickel, author of Inquest of the Shroud of Turin, and The Shroud, A Study in Deception, has conducted a review of recent shroud evidence and concludes that the documentary and forensic findings disprove the cloth's authenticity. Samples of what was claimed to be blood failed the Patria tests in 1973. In the late 1970s, a forensic microanalyst, an expert in examining the authenticity of documents and paintings, identified the blood of the shroud as a special type of paint. And in 1988, the shroud was carbon dated by three different laboratories in Zurich, Oxford, and the University of Arizona. The results closely agreed. Radiocarbon dating yielded a date range of 1260 to 1390 A.D., coinciding with the forger's confession reported to Pope Clement. And that, says expert Joe Nickel, leads to the conclusion that the shroud is nothing more than a work of a medieval artisan.
The image of Jesus in Popular Mechanics was based on facts gathered by experts in forensic anthropology. Author Mike Fillon writes, "Using methods similar to those police have developed to solve crimes, British scientists, assisted by Israeli archaeologists, have recreated what they believe is the most accurate image of the most famous face in history." We have a report from our news desk explaining this field of science called forensic anthropology.
While forensic anthropology is usually used to solve crimes, Richard Knave, a medical artist retired from the University of Manchester in England, realized that it could also shed light on the appearance of Jesus. The co-author of Making Faces, using forensic and archaeological evidence, Knave had ventured into controversial areas before. Over the past two decades, he had constructed dozens of famous faces. The first step for the research team was to acquire skulls from near Jerusalem, the region where Jesus lived. With three well-preserved specimens from the time of Jesus in hand, Knave used computerized tomography to create X-ray slices of the skulls, thus revealing minute details about each one's structure. The entire process was accomplished using software that verified the results with anthropological data. From this data, the researchers built a digital 3D reconstruction of the face. But two key factors could not be determined from the skull: hair and coloration. To fill in these parts of the picture, Knave's team turned to drawings found at various archaeological sites dated to the first century. What they found was that Jesus had dark rather than light-colored eyes. And it was the Bible that resolved the question of the length of Jesus' hair. While most religious artists had put long hair on Christ, most biblical scholars believe it was probably short with tight curls. The historic record also resolved the issue of Jesus' height. From an analysis of skeletal remains, archaeologists had firmly established that the average build of a male at the time of Jesus was about 5 feet 1 inch, with an average weight of around 110 pounds. Since Jesus worked outdoors as a carpenter until he was about 30 years old, it is reasonable to assume that he was more muscular and physically fit than westernized portraits suggest.
Thanks, David. That was David Palmer calling in from our news desk in Canada. The historical Jesus who walked the streets of Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago, can we know what he actually looked like? We'll be back right after this.
What's the best news you could hear? You've heard the word gospel. It means good news. Jesus Christ brought a message of good news. It's a message about a kingdom. In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the message Jesus brought. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible what that message is and what it means for you. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're back on Good News Radio, where we've been discussing the Popular Mechanics article on the real face of Jesus. Joining us by telephone hookup from Minnesota is Pastor Steve Myers. Steve, it's nice to have you with us on the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Okay, let me read a couple of sentences from this article and then get your reaction. It says, from analysis of skeletal remains, archaeologists have firmly established that the average build of a Semite man at the time of Jesus was 5'1" with an average weight of 110 pounds. Since Jesus worked outdoors as a carpenter until he was about 30 years old, it is reasonable to assume he was more muscular and physically fit than westernized portraits suggest.
Pretty amazing statement. I think many people would be very surprised to hear those comments. It's interesting to see that these researchers have discovered that Jesus must have looked like any Jew of his day. It's also interesting to see how the Bible compares with what they have found. Certainly, the biblical record justifies these writings, because when Jesus was arrested in the garden, just before the crucifixion, Judas Iscariot had to point out specifically which person was Jesus. He had to go up and give him a kiss because the people coming to arrest him could not tell him apart from the disciples. So Matthew 26:48 talks about that, how he had to give them that sign in order to decide which one really was Jesus. So he must have looked very similar to the other Jews of the day. And in fact, it's interesting to see that a number of times throughout the Bible, Jesus, during his ministry, would slip in amongst the crowd and be lost when the Pharisees were after him. He was able to flee by just walking through a crowd, and so he must have been able to mix in and look very similar to the people of his day as well. It's also interesting to see what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah 53:2 talks about the fact that there was not much to look at in his appearance. It said that he it prophesied the fact that he didn't have a special form or wasn't some special good-looking Hollywood actor like we might have today, but that his appearance was not much of anything that people should desire him. And so it makes sense with what the Bible says, that Jesus looked just about like a normal, everyday person of his day.
Now, I find it fascinating that these scientists also assert that the popular view of Jesus with long hair is inaccurate.
Well, it has to be. I think that even though most artists, you know, throughout the centuries have put long hair on Jesus, it just wasn't that way. Most biblical scholars would agree that he probably had short hair and probably, like those of his day, probably short with tight curls. He wasn't one to stand out among a crowd because he, Philippians 2 says he was of no reputation. He was just like the likeness of men.
Now, the hair issue, then, is important in that it's hard to understand how the Apostle Paul would say it's a shame for a man to have long hair when, of course, his Savior wore his hair long. It wouldn't make sense. Where do you think the idea of Jesus with long hair originated?
Well, it seems that there was probably a misconception. Jesus was certainly known as Jesus of Nazareth, and there was a Nazarite vow that people of his day would take, which was a special vow to God. And the words are very similar sounding, especially in English, when you say Nazareth or Nazarene or Nazarite vow. They're all very similar types of words. We know people from the Bible who were Nazarites, who took the Nazarite vow, people like Samson or Samuel, John the Baptist. These were all men who took special vows to God, a Nazarite vow. Now, Jesus did not take that. But one part of what the Nazarite vow was about was that it set them apart from other people. And part of their practice was that they wouldn't cut their hair. Everyone knows the story of Samson and his long hair. And so during the time of their vows, they would not cut their hair or a number of other things. So that this set them apart from others and set them apart as a special vow to God. Now, Jesus was not a Nazarite, but he was Jesus of Nazareth. And so that way, Paul wouldn't have gotten in trouble by saying, you know, if a man has long hair, it's a disgrace or a shame, like he mentions in 1 Corinthians 11:14. So Christ couldn't have had long hair, or Paul wouldn't have said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So it's also interesting to see when you look at drawings from the first century. There is artwork from the first century depicting that area in Palestine. These people are depicted with short hair, which would have been appropriate for the men of that time of Jesus. So it all fits together and fits together really nicely.
It's interesting when you study, of course, the history of how people have portrayed Jesus. We find Jesus portrayed by Europeans as European, by Africans as African, by Hispanics as Hispanic, by Asians as Asian. Does it really matter how a person visualizes Jesus?
Well, I think in one sense it does. It seems that for most of us, a perception is reality, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it would just seem to follow, if our perception is one idea, it has a tendency to sway our thinking. And so I think in that way, it is important how we perceive and how we visualize Jesus.
Does how you perceive Jesus affect the way you interpret his gospel? We'll be back with more on this subject right after these messages.
Today's headlines are filled with bad news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and government scandals. Almost 2,000 years ago, a prophet came bringing a vital message for this world. That prophet was Jesus Christ, and his message was the gospel of the kingdom of God. What was the kingdom of which he spoke? And does it have anything to do with the problems that threaten you and me today? In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. It is more relevant to you than you might think. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back on Good News Radio with Steve Myers discussing the historical Jesus and what he may have looked like. The gospel writers record an account when Jesus avoided violence by an angry mob simply by mingling with the crowd. Judas had to identify him with a kiss of betrayal. Obviously, Jesus looked like any Jew of his day. Steve, do you think that attempts to make Jesus look European, African, or Asian has also affected the way people interpret his teachings?
Well, it certainly seems like it would. If we all have a tendency to look at life through our own vision, it doesn't seem that it's any different when it comes to interpreting what Christ taught. It seems that you can look around the world today and find any number of different religions that supposedly base their teachings on what Christ taught, and yet they specialize in different things. So you can find specialized groups that believe one thing and that interpret what Christ did or interpret what he said from their own perspective, whether it be a cultural perspective or whether it be a localized perspective. It seems like we all have a tendency to interpret things our own way or for our own benefits. Yet, on the other hand, the Bible and Jesus' teachings should speak for themselves. We shouldn't interpret the Bible from a cultural perspective that is from our own perspective. If we're European, from a European perspective, or because we're Americans, we interpret it from an American perspective. I think we run into problems when we try to do that. So we can't interpret the Bible from our own culture or from our own prejudices or our own ideas. I think we have to interpret the Bible for what the Bible says and let the Bible interpret itself. Let Jesus' words interpret themselves. Otherwise, we will run into problems.
Okay, well, maybe you can give us an example where understanding the context of Jesus living as a Jew in a Jewish culture in the first century adds light to something that he taught.
Well, that's a good idea. I think one example, it was a custom during the time of Jesus that when guests would arrive at someone's home, they had been walking the streets. Of course, they didn't have paved roads in the same way that we do today. And, of course, because of where they were, they had a tendency to wear sandals. And, of course, as you walk the dusty roads with your sandals on, especially with the climate that they have in Palestine, it was dusty. And dust would go all over their feet. And so when they arrived at the household, the household slaves would get down and wash and dry all of the guests' feet. Now, that was usually done by the lowest slave that was in the household. That was their duty to do that. Because why would they choose the lowest one? Well, because it wasn't the most favored responsibility to get down and wash people's feet. And so this was something that everybody was familiar with. It was a common, everyday occurrence. And in John chapter 13, a similar event occurs. Now, Jesus understood this. And when he went through this exercise in John 13, it must have been just shocking for the disciples to see him. It wasn't the lowest household slave, but it was Jesus, their Lord, their master, their rabbi, getting down on his hands and knees and washing and drying their feet. And so this context of the time that Jesus lived in sent just a powerful message to his students, to the disciples. And it really sends a powerful message to us today as well when we see it in the proper context. Because the proper context then really brings home the point that Jesus did not come to be served, but he came to serve. And he told his disciples that they must follow his example, and they needed to be servants too. And so, because we see that in the context of what was happening during Jesus' time, we can see how much more impact that his example would have set to them. In fact, he said at the end of that occurrence, he said, "You'll be happy if you do these things." And so I think approaching a subject, whether it be what Jesus looked like or whether it be foot washing, if we approach it in the proper context, it's going to help us better understand our Savior Jesus Christ, and it's also going to help us better understand his teachings.
Well, just what you were saying, of course, makes Peter's comments really come alive. That's why he didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. It's something that slaves did.
That's right. In fact, Peter didn't really understand at first. He just didn't quite catch the understanding. In fact, I suppose if Jesus wouldn't have explained what he meant by what he did, the disciples could have easily gotten the wrong idea. I'm sure when he said, "Do you know what I've done?" their thought would probably have been, "Well, no, not exactly, because a slave's supposed to do that." And so Christ explained, he didn't do this so that they would come and wash his feet, because I suppose that would have been their natural response for them to turn around then and wash his feet. No, Christ's example in what he said was that, no, you should wash one another's feet. You should be truly servants. And so the context of the event during that time really brought home the point that they were to become servants in the same way that their Savior and their Lord and Master was a servant to them.
You know, we always seem to run out of time. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
The scientists and archaeologists who created the portrait of Jesus that appeared in Popular Mechanics, they've been right in some details, but no one really knows the exact physical features of Jesus. The Apostle John was given a vision of what Jesus looks like today. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is said to have hair white as wool, eyes like a flame of fire, and appear like the sun shining in its strength. By creating Jesus in our own image, have we misinterpreted what he taught? Do you really know the truth of Jesus' message, or has it become a caricature, like the pictures in our Bibles of what he looked like, based more on the appearance of the people making the picture than on Jesus himself? This is why you need to call this toll-free number for your copy of The Gospel of the Kingdom, 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. The call is free. The booklet is free. The answers you discover may change your life. You may find that not only did Jesus look different than you have believed, but that his gospel contains truths from God you've never heard. And now from the mailbox. This is from Brian Franklin from Columbia, South Carolina. He writes, "Your program on human secularism was right on target. Look who the Supreme Court cares about not offending, human secularists, religious people, nor God count. Unfortunately, Brian, that is too much the case." If you'd like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comments on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been.
The choice is up to you. Join us next time, where we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
What's the best news you could hear? You've heard the word gospel. It means good news. Jesus Christ brought a message of good news. It's a message about a kingdom. In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the message Jesus brought. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible what that message is and what it means for you. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.